Well, hello there, good evening and welcome. This is Strong and Sassy here on your superstation Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Enimoa Enim Ado, and we'll be doing this until 8 o'clock. So, you know that it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so this month we did, you know, say that we were going to really focus on stories that have to do with breast cancer, you know, the education of the survivor stories, and also have one or two conversations with men as well who have gone through the experience. But tonight we're having a conversation with the family, because when one person is sick, it's not just them, you know, it takes a whole family, it takes a whole village. And so we're going to be hearing the story of a survivor and her family and what it was like for them to go through that whole process and to come out on the other side. So forgive us if we get, you know, a bit soft and emotional, as we usually do when we're having these conversations. You know, life is so fleeting. And so when there are experiences that really challenge us like this, you know, sometimes we will connect with our emotions and, you know, so just be ready. But also you can watch us on Facebook, and we'd love to interact with you over there. It's Joy 99.7 FM, and we're live on Facebook as well. So joining me tonight is Miss Phyllis Adole Backman. She's a former beautician and executive member of the Modloco Breast Cancer Foundation. She's our main guest. She is a breast cancer survivor. Auntie Phyllis, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. And then we have your sister-in-law, Mrs. Mausi Intriwa Backman. She's joining us on Zoom. And then also your daughter, Miss Ivy Aquadennis, who's also joining us on Zoom. So I'll speak to your family a little bit later, but I'd really like to hear your story.
Okay.
You know, from how it started, and okay, then as you tell us the story, if there are any questions that I have, I'll interject. But otherwise, really just tell us the story of from the beginning to where we are now.
Okay. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my story, and thank you for your listeners. My journey started in 2019, but prior to that, I felt a lump. I was doing self-examination one time, and then I felt a lump in my breast. When I felt it, I was scared. So I told a doctor friend of mine. He came to examine it, and he said I should go to a hospital for them to do core biopsy to see what it is. Mm. So I went to a hospital in Kanishi. I don't want to mention the name.
Okay.
When I got there and the doctor also saw the breast, he said the core biopsy would cost 1,800. By then it's 18 million. That's 2014. And the money was huge.
Okay.
I don't know where I'll get that money from.
Okay.
And this lump too wasn't paining me.
Okay.
So I left it.
Wow, okay.
I just left it.
I forgot about it.
I wasn't doing anything to it. So latter part of 20...
Were you hoping it will go away?
I don't even know.
Okay.
By then, I haven't heard much about... I haven't heard about breast cancer.
Okay.
When it's October and they start much noise about breast cancer, I kept saying, oh, these people are coming to talk. Ah, breast cancer, breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, this lump was there. And it wasn't still paining me. Okay. So I just left it. I wasn't doing anything about it. Then in latter part of 2018, I realized it has grown bigger than the other breast. Okay. And then the skin of that breast has changed. The nipple has gone inside.
Okay.
And then the whole breast has just dimples on it.
Okay.
Still, it wasn't paining me.
Okay.
So I realized the way it's looking, I have to go to hospital. So I went to Achimota Hospital.
Okay, sorry. So before you, so between 2014 and 2018, were you monitoring it? Were you looking at it? Were you worrying about it?
I wasn't worrying because it wasn't paining me.
Okay, but the changes, were you...
Between 2014 and 2018, I think the changes started in 2018.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So I was, because it wasn't paining me, I think I wasn't worried about it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
Yes. So I went to Achimota Hospital. Mm-hmm. So when I went and I told the doctor my story, he said he will have to examine it and see. So he also, the moment he saw the breast, he said, madam, this looks cancerous. But all the same, let's do core biopsy to see what it was. The core biopsy that I couldn't do.
4 years ago.
It has catch me again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. This time, I have to look for money to do it. And this time too, it was much cheaper than the previous time.
Okay.
Yes, so I was able to do it. I did it, and then the doctor said I should come for the report in a week's time. Mm-hmm. So the week came, and then, when you do a test, and you are waiting for the results, it's not an easy thing.
No.
And then when the D-Day come for you to go for the report. In fact, the doctor, I called him on Wednesday evening.
Mm.
And then he said, oh, Auntie Phyllis, your report is in. Can you pass by tomorrow morning at 8? I say. So I started praying over this thing. Hey, what will it be 8? So
you know, at that point, you know the results have come and he knows what it is.
Yeah.
And he's not telling you.
No.
He's saying tomorrow morning.
I should come tomorrow morning. He doesn't want to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, this breast cancer thing, breaking the news wherever the person is, it is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
So even he not seeing me and telling me on the phone wouldn't be the best. He wouldn't know where I am
at that moment.
Yes. So the morning came, my daughter, I had wanted to go with somebody. My daughter has gone to work. I didn't want to go with my mom because I don't know what will happen to her when she hears the news. And because of stigma, I didn't want to go with a friend too.
Mm.
So I just prayed and I said, God, lead me to the doctor and give me the strength to be able to take whatever he's going to say. Then I went. So when I got there, he said, madam, the day you came here, I said your breasts look cancerous and the report confirms it. So I will refer you to Kolebu. And I said, oh, doctor, why not here in Kolebu? You know, when we were kids, the moment you hear Kolebu, it means the person is going to die.
Mm.
So I said, doctor, why not here in Kolebu? He said, oh, every treatment about cancer, it's been done in Kolebu, so I have to refer you there. In fact, that doctor was able to tell me that day all that I will be going through for the treatment. He said, I'll go through chemotherapy. I have to do surgery for them to take the breast off because of the way it's looking. And then I have to go on radiation. Probably they will put me on hormonal drugs. So I listened to him. When he finished, he said, Auntie Phyllis, I will tell you two things. When you go to Kolebu, listen to whatever the doctors will say and add prayers to it. And I say, okay, thank you. So I went to church and I told my pastor about it. After listening the story, he said, Auntie Phyllis, it has happened. Let's listen to the doctors and then we add prayers to it. This cancer thing, you are going to hear a lot of stories about it, but please don't think about it, else it will mess up everything.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the doctors and we pray about it. So that gave me the strength to go to Kolebu. So I went to Kolebu. And then Kolebu also wanted to do their own test for them to be sure to diagnose its breast cancer. So they asked me to run a lot of tests. I did all and I brought it to them. Then they said, they diagnosed me. That was in 2019, I think 12 March, they diagnosed it was breast cancer. So they will have to start the treatment. And then they said because of the way their breast is, they have to do chemotherapy for the breast to reduce to a certain level before they can do the surgery. So they started with the chemotherapy. I did in fact, before starting the chemotherapy, they made me see the breast care nurses. Okay. They took me through the counseling. Mm. They made me know whatever I have to know and all that I'll be going through. So, you know, I was a beautician, and they told me my hair, I would lose my hair.
You lose your hair, yeah.
So by then, I have grown my hair to a certain length. I wanted to cut an inverted bulb. Mm-hmm. And I have a barber who does it for me.
Okay.
So I've been telling him I want to come and cut my hair. So all along, he's been expecting me for that style.
Yeah.
So when they told me I will lose my hair, I've been fixing weave-ons for people and wig caps, but have never worn one.
Okay.
So the moment they said I will lose my hair and then I should look for wigs and start wearing it before I start.
Losing
I have to be used to it before I start the chemotherapy. So I said, okay, I went home and I did my own wig up. And then I went to Ni, his incarnation. And when I got there, I said, Ni, I've come. Today I'm coming to cut my hair. So he was expecting
exactly.
So he said, Auntie Phyllis, how are we going to do it? Okay, I'm cutting everything. Like, Auntie Phyllis, how? And I said, I'm cutting everything too. I did this, like this length. He said, Auntie Phyllis, why? And I said, Ni, I'm going through something. I just want my hair cut. I didn't know how to tell him. So he said, okay. He cut it for me. When I was going, I went with my wig cap. Then after he finished, I wore the wig up there. One, because of the stigmatization, even those in my house, they didn't know everything. So I wore the wig there and got home with the wig. Till I left to do my surgery, nobody knew I was going through that. So I started working and wearing the wig, and then I started the chemotherapy. The first section went well. Then the second one, I started coughing.
Mm.
I started coughing. It was so bad. I can sit on my bed from evening to morning.
Just coughing.
The moment I put my head down, I would start coughing. So I would just sit down. And by then too, my daughter would be going to work. She too, she can't sleep. We will all be sitting down. So I reported it to them, the doctors, and then they said I should do chest X-ray and bring it. I did it and I brought it, and then they realized it was negative. They said they were looking for something and that is negative. So they gave me cough syrup, and then the cough was able to go down a bit. Then I went in for the third section. Oh, it became worse.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to go and do another chest X-ray, which I did. I brought it. They said it's negative. They thought maybe the cancer has spread into my lungs.
Yeah.
That was what I did. So the cough was on and off. I was taking my cough syrup till I finished. By God's grace, as soon as I finished, the cough stopped.
Okay.
So they did the surgery for me 25th July 2019.
Okay.
I did the surgery. Then in November, when
so
I finished.
What was the surgery like? Well, what did they do? They took cut off
they removed the whole breast.
Okay, so they left one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you know the 2014. If I had that money at that time, they would just take the lump from the breast and leave the breast. But because I wasn't able to get the money, the breast had to be taken.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So what was that like? What was the surgery like?
Oh, the surgery, because of the anesthesia. By the time I came out, the breast is gone. Yes. And there was no pain. It went on successfully.
Okay.
Yes.
How did you feel? Did you feel like you had lost a part of yourself? I mean, emotionally, how did you adjust to, you know, losing?
In fact, I started adjusting myself from the day they told me they would take up the breast.
Okay.
So I started adjusting myself. Even when I'm taking my breast, my bath, I would just say, you this one, you are not my friend. There's going to be a time you will not be my friend. I'll be saying till I had the surgery. So, though I'm human, it hurts me. But if that was what is going to save me, I have to let it go. Yeah. Yes. So after the surgery, I was asked to go to the oncology for them to also do radiation. So I went to the oncology, and then they also did, I went through 25 cycles of radiation.
Wow.
It wasn't easy. That one too is, it was every day.
Every day.
For 25 days. So after I was done with that one, they put me on hormonal therapy. Mm. The doctor said I will take it for 5 years. And September, I started taking the medication in September. Mm. So September was exactly five years. And I went for my review. I go for 6 month review. Mm. My review in July. When I went, the doctor said, now they have extended it to 10 years.
Okay.
So I'll be on the medication for 10 years. But they will tell me in January when I go for my next review.
When to start?
Yes.
Which means that you're getting a break.
I'm not getting a break. I'm still taking it.
So I'll go.
My next review is in January. But that is when the doctor will confirm that they are going to add 5 years to it.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. What's that like? The hormonal medicines, how do they make you feel? What do they do to your body?
It suppressed if there's any cancer to come out or anything. It was just suppressed it.
Okay.
Yes.
And you feel fine?
I'm
it doesn't
okay.
have any
no.
issues? It doesn't
no,
really
at
affect
all.
Anything?
No.
Okay. Right. So it feels like it's almost like the end for you, right?
Yes.
Are you afraid that it may come back?
I always say God knows best. Whatever it is, if I have it happens to come up and I see it in time and something can be done, I go for it, just like I did. Yes.
So I mean, the chemotherapy and the radiation and the whole treatment. I mean, I know we've talked about it, like the blankets, this is what it was. But I want the details. You know, what was it like when you take the medicine, when you come home? How did you feel, you know, physically, emotionally? You know, what was it like?
Chemotherapy, it's a difficult treatment to go through. When you take it and you come home, my, for instance, the first 3 days, I will be very weak. But after that 3 days, I will be able to do my work. I was then having my salon in the house.
Okay.
So I'll be able to do my work. But the only thing is, I'm not able to... Anything that doesn't taste well in your mouth.
Okay.
But because the drugs are very strong, you need to eat to be able to take your medication. Water, even coconut, anything that doesn't taste well, but you still have to eat it to keep you going.
So that was your struggle?
Yes. And then my was the cough. Others, it breaks them down, but the cough was my problem.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was your main side effect?
That was my main side effect.
Did you lost your hair? Did you?
I did lost everything.
What was that like for you, losing your hair? Because you're a beautician. I mean, it's like that's your thing, that's your signature, you know, and then now you've lost it. What was that like? And it's interesting because when you were telling the story, you talked about what that was. So it definitely feels like that was a big thing for you.
It was a big thing, but because the nurses were able to tell me that this is what I'm going to go through, but when I'm done, it will come back. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm looking at a picture of Auntie Phyllis with no hair at all.
Yes.
So this is, did you shave it to this point?
Because no.
You had shaved it and looked like an inch.
Yes, an inch. So when I started going through the chemotherapy, now when I put comb in my hair, like I'm combing it, it will just come in the comb, like there's blade in the comb.
Wow.
Mm.
And everything just
the comb. Just yes.
Was it difficult when you look at yourself in the mirror? What do you tell yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror with no hair? And
I think for some time I wasn't looking at myself in the mirror because I'm scared of what I will see. It took me some time before I started looking through the mirror.
The mirror, yeah. And the and when you finally looked at the mirror, what was
I said,
that?
They said the hair will come back. So I'm sure it will come back. And when I was done with the chemo, I realized it was coming.
It was coming.
Yes, I can show you the next picture.
So, but you didn't have any other symptoms. So you didn't get dark, your fingernails,
I became dark a bit. My fingernails also changed.
Did you lose your eyebrows?
It became very light.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. It became very light.
Okay. I think that we're going to cross over to Zoom. Okay, so just looking at the pictures. Okay, that's a picture of
the scar.
Of the scar.
Mm.
And then the hair started
when it started
to grow
growing, yes.
And then it grew back.
Yes.
Okay, and then now you've locked it.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. That's truly amazing. So let's talk to let's start with your daughter.
Okay.
Ivy. Hi Ivy, are you there?
Hi, Anima. I'm here. I'm Ivy.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. My mom is a huge fan of your show. So
yes,
I'm sure
I know, right? I know. We had a chat earlier today. But mommy tells me that you are the only baby.
Yes, I'm the one and only, the only trophy.
the only trophy. So, I mean, what was it like for you, you know, from when she got diagnosed, you know, right up until now? What has your journey been like, you know, watching your mom go through this?
Well, to be honest, it was really tough. When she broke the news to me, about the diagnosis, I didn't accept it. I didn't want to accept it. I was upset. I was mad. I was like, God, why my mom? And like my mom said, those days, breast cancer wasn't something that was popular, if I should put it that way. I hardly heard anything about breast cancer. It wasn't like you hearing every day about malaria or any of those familiar diseases.
Yeah.
So hearing her having breast cancer, it was huge. And I was like, no, not her. I actually fought the news. She seemed more stronger when she broke it to me.
Okay.
But I was so mad. I was so upset. And I remember when she started telling me about the process she's going to go through, she started with chemotherapy. Oh, I lost it at that point because earlier on, a classmate of mine had gone through chemo. Okay. And she had cancer. A classmate of mine had cancer. And she refused chemotherapy because she said she was told the symptoms she was going to experience and she didn't want it. So when my mom mentioned she had to go through chemo, I was like, no way. I can't bear to see her hair growing and all those changes that they're telling me about what chemo would do. And she says, hey, she's going to go through it. She's going to be fine. I have to be strong. I was just breaking down. I just couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it. It was her strength that actually kept me going.
Oh, wow.
She was all she's all I have. So it was tough, but by God's grace, we came out. We came out successfully to the glory of God.
It's interesting that you would say that it's her strength that kept you going.
Yes. Yes. It really her strength, because at some point, I remember I had just gotten this job in Tema, and we lived in Accra. So when she broke the news to me, before she broke the news to me, I was living in Tema, so I could go to work easily.
Okay.
But when she broke the news to me, I said, no way, I'm going to move back to Accra, be with her, and if I have to cross the motorway every day to go to work, I'll do that. And it was really tough at some point. I didn't even know. I got to work one day and my boss asked me, Ivy, are you okay? I said, yes, please, I was, I'm okay. But apparently my wig looked halfway off the way. My buttons were badly buttoned and I looked off. So he asked me to sit down and he asked me, I hear your mom is going through something, some kind of cancer. Is she okay? And I said, oh, yes, please. She's okay. I tried to look strong. Mm. He said, okay, sit down. Tell me about it. So I told him, she has started with a chemotherapy. And he said, okay, let's pray. So there's the CEO of the company, someone that I can't even yawn in his presence.
Okay.
So he said, let's pray. So he held my hand and started to pray and said, Father, Lord, we commit Ivy's mom into your hands. And then I burst out into tears.
Yeah.
I was in a complete mess. So this whole thing was really tough. From the beginning, it wasn't easy. But she, anytime I come home from work, I see her, she has this big smile on her face. She's able to go to the doctors and come back, all her appointments. She was able to go and come. And she would tell me the experiences with so much joy. I'm like, hey, how is my mom going through with this?
Yeah.
And then the part with the hair loss, it was like, I don't know, it was like a movie. I would prefer to see it on the screen and then wake up and go like, okay, this is just a movie. But seeing it in reality, with everything going, and like I said, my mom always had this huge smile on her face. So she would comb her hair and she'd say, Adwasi, you know, something that is scary, I supposed to like scare you with seeing a lot of hair in the comb. She would just see Adwasi with a big smile on her face. And I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? And then gradually all her scalp, everything went off. Her scalp was just showing and like, wow. So this is real.
Yeah.
This is real.
What was your biggest fear?
Well, I wasn't scared that I was going to lose her. That didn't cross my mind. But the thought of her just going through the process of breast cancer and then the surgery, I just couldn't stand it.
Mm.
Knowing that she's going to have one breast off, what? I just couldn't take it. But like I said, she kept me going, encouraging me every day that everything is going to be okay. And she actually made it seem easy. Like, oh, this one, don't finish it right now. Oh, this one, you see, very soon I'll be off it and it'll be okay. And then I'll come home and see her palm looking so dark because of chemo. And she'll say, oh, don't worry, I'll bounce back. And she will. Sometimes like I'll come back from work and she's cooked a whole meal.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, how are you doing this? But we got through it by God's grace. We got through it. We were all scared, but she kept all of us going.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's, she kept all of us
going. I'm beginning to tear up even because, I mean, I can imagine... but Auntie Phyllis, I mean, for you, I have a daughter, so I can imagine how much I would try to be okay just so that my children are okay. Is that what you were doing? Because, you know, when you talk about all of this, you make it look easy. I'll be honest with you. You actually make it look like, oh, it was not a big deal. When they cut off your breast, you do the chemo, you know, I'd be now.
One time, I was sharing this thing, same story on a Zoom church program, and then one pastor said, Auntie Phyllis, the way you are sharing this thing, it's like it's something simple. So it's like,
yeah,
simple,
sir. Yeah, no, it's like it sounds very simple.
I think God gave me the strength.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Like she said, I was rather encouraging those who were down for me.
Yeah.
I realized I have to be strong, else they will break down.
Mm.
So even if I'm in pain, you don't see it. I don't show it. I just pray to God to give me the strength to move on.
To move on.
Yes.
Wow. let me speak to your sister-in-law as well. Hello, Mrs. Backman.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for being patient with us.
Oh, that's all right.
And for waiting for us. So Auntie Phyllis came to stay with you after the surgery.
Yes.
Okay. What was that like? What was that whole experience like for you, you know, watching her recover from the surgery?
It was scary, I would say. Really scary. The only thing is I didn't expose how scared I was to her. because I started with the time she had gone through surgery. I was with her throughout hospital. Even after surgery, the specimen, I took it to the pathology people to do their final test, and holding it, in fact, I was scared. But you know, this, as Ajua said, she has all these big smiles in her face, and she's always smiling as if it was an easy cup she was carrying. And I remember a particular night, she coughed all through the night, and I sat in my bed and I felt bad. I remember one particular night also, I woke up in the morning and she was not in the room. I said, where is Auntie Phyllis going to? They said she had been rushed to the hospital. For what? Look, I was scared. But I am telling you, the woman sitting beside you is the strongest of all. She really is.
Hello, can you hear me?
A bit faint.
I was saying that, so like, okay. Ivy said, so mm-hmm. you're basically agreeing with what Ivy said, that she actually exactly. made it easier for you.
Yes.
Wow.
She did. She rather made it easier for us. We saw it as a burden. We saw it as, in fact, for me, anytime I wake up, I go look for her because I don't want to hear the story. She didn't wake up.
Mm.
So the first thing I do is to go look for her. And she wakes up before I do.
Wow.
It's been a difficult time, but she's made it amazing.
Wow. I'm blown away. I mean, I usually have so many questions, but I don't think I've ever heard... I don't think we've ever heard the story, you know, like this, where the person who actually has the cancer is. So what were you smiling about?
I don't even know. I think that keeps me going. Yes, that keeps me going.
Just the smiling.
Yes.
And the, like, you know, going about cooking. I was
doing
the meal.
Everything. I was doing my own thing. When I was going through the cancer, the chemo treatment, I realized that if there are certain days that I'm not too fine, I don't bother myself.
Okay.
But the rest of the days, if the vim is there, I'll do everything. Because the nurses, the breast care nurses let us know that if you are not active, this thing will just break you down. So you have to be active. So I wasn't lazy in the treatment. If I feel I can do something, I do. I do my own washing. I do my own cooking. I do everything.
Whilst going through chemo and all of that.
Yes, I was doing things. Because I don't want to be lying down. People will be coming, what is wrong with you? What to know? If the vim is there, I would do whatever I would do.
You would do.
Wow. Yes.
Okay, Ivy, let me ask you, how do you feel now, you know, after watching Mommy go through all of this and seeing her survive?
I just give thanks to God. It's a huge miracle. It's a huge miracle. And when you see her now, until she shares her story, you would never know that she's going through something like that. And I remember telling a friend of mine at church is always asking, oh, how is your mom? How is your mom? Because she keeps seeing Mommy posting stuff on Facebook all the time. Like, oh, Mommy is fine. And then I remember one time I broke it to her that, oh, this is what Mommy has gone through. First, she burst into tears. She cried for some few seconds and she said, wait, is that Mommy that has posted her recent picture? Like, is that how Mommy is looking now? Or she's looking sick? I said, no, the current picture you're seeing on Facebook, that's Mommy now. She said, with her hair and everything. I was like, yes, this is Mommy now. This is what God can do. He gave her the strength to go through it, and she's encouraged other people. And it's beautiful how God made something that looked ugly, has turned around to look beautiful, and now encourage other women. I, for one, she's always fighting with me every October. Go and do your screening. Go and do your screening. Go and do your screening. And because of what we've been through and how she's looking now, and it's not scary anymore. It's like, oh, that bad dream is over. That nightmare is over. What can come? But seeing her now still tells me, no, you still have to do your screening.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to happen. You'll be fine because mommy is fine and everything will be okay. It's a beautiful story. It started ugly, but looking at her now, I just thank God.
So have you done your screening?
Yes, I have. Surprisingly, I usually do it at my church. But like mommy said, before she had her surgery, we hardly heard anything about breast cancer awareness. Mm. They were not doing it at the churches anymore. My office never mentioned it. But right after she went through her surgery, I think that's 2019, that's when we started hearing it. That is when my church even started doing free screenings every October, urging every woman to be there. And so I just decided, hey. And then there's a self-check every month that I do.
Okay.
And she educated me on it. And then you have to do your own research on what to eat, what not to eat, what to stay away from, having a healthy lifestyle. Before then, all this, we were all ignorant on all these.
Yes.
So this has helped a lot.
It sounds as if because of your mom's story, you're not afraid anymore.
Yes, she has this, I don't know how to put it, but she gives you this courage that, hey, I've been through the toughest time. I came out successfully by God's grace. And it's not as tough as it seems. That is how she expresses herself to be. Mm. So you don't get scared anymore. And to be honest, even right now, until I see the scar that reminds me that she's been through this, it's just a forgotten story.
It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned in all of this?
Well, I really have learned a lot, to be honest. Because in the beginning, when she told us about the diagnosis, I remember very well my grandma and I. She mentioned that she had to go through chemotherapy and then surgery. And my grandma and I fought it. We're like, no, you're not going to go through chemo. You're not going to go through surgery. Let's branch the herbal way. And she said, no, the doctor said she should go through this process. And we said, no, you're not going to go through it. And she says, hey, it is her. And she's going to do what the doctors are saying, not what we are saying. But I later found out that if you go through the herbal way, you are either worsening it and making things even long for yourself. So it's better you go to the hospital and seek the right advice.
Yeah.
So I have learned that once you detect something like this, the earlier detection saves life. Mm-hmm. And then you follow what the medical expertise will tell you, not going the herbal way, mm-hmm. not knowing what the side effects of the herbal stuff will do. And then also having a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
We didn't know all this before this happened, as to eating healthy, drinking healthy.
Yeah.
Now, when you come to a home, everybody's juicing something healthy to take. Everybody's doing something healthy.
Wow.
Right now, all on carbs. Yes, she has really helped us a lot. And then we have to make our own research. Every weekend, everybody's busy. If you're not juicing greens, we are juicing something healthy. I never liked beetroot, but now it's my favorite vegetable straight fruit.
Wow.
It's really, really helped us.
It's really helped. I mean, you talk about... Sorry, go ahead.
It's been a life-changing experience, to be honest. But
okay, I get that.
Don't worry, we're on track.
Yes. You're on track, but... So before I let you go, I mean, you talk about church a lot. So two questions. When mommy was going through all of this, how did you feel about God? And now that it's done, how do you feel about him now?
Okay, so when she was going through with it, I personally am a very prayerful person.
Mm.
But at the time she started the chemo and the cough, I didn't have the courage to pray.
Mm.
I didn't have the courage. I would try to pray, but I couldn't. I was overwhelmed with sadness.
Mm.
And God in his infinite mercy knew that this girl wants to pray. Let me find someone who would pray for her. And that's how come my boss came in the picture.
Okay. Okay.
That faithful morning, the plan was to come to work early, get to the conference room, and then pray and seek God as much as I could, as hard as I could. But I got to work and my boss had already come in. Hey, let me help you pray. And it helped. Because if I had prayed by myself, I couldn't.
You couldn't.
And I just knew that God could hear our hearts, that we needed him, even though we couldn't speak it with our mouths.
Yeah.
And now, seeing how she is right now, I just give glory to God. I really give glory to God. Mm. Seeing her every day going about this advocacy, helping other people, encouraging people on the phone. Hey, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Wow. It really is a miracle. People calling on her just to hear her, encourage them and all that. Mm. It's really a miracle. I see that God has turned something ugly into a very beautiful story.
A beautiful story.
Raise other people who are weaker to be strong. She's a vessel of God. Mm. And God is using it to strengthen other women to know that, hey, you go through this, but by the grace of God, you will come out. I have been through it. This is my picture evidence, and you would come out too. So I see her as a vessel of God.
Wow.
I see her as a vessel of
God. That's amazing. Wow. Auntie Phyllis, let me read some of the messages that have come through. So on Facebook, Akova says, she's always smiling at the storm. Margaret says, yes, so chemo pain is no child's play. The nerve pain, the sleepless nights, the hot flashes. Auntie Phyllis, you're a big inspiration. Remember the day you and Gina Kuma entered Kolebu surgical block, second floor, side ward, to encourage me and my ward mate. Wow, God bless you so much. So you've been going around and talking to people.
You know, I said I'm a member of Mod Local Breast Cancer.
Yes, okay.
So Mod and I did the surgery together.
Okay.
We met in Kolebu.
Okay.
So after the surgery, she came out with an idea that, Auntie Phyllis, since God has given us a second chance, let's go and see the doctors.
Mm.
The only thing we can do to help is we'll be coming here on Wednesdays to help the newly diagnosed patients,
okay,
to encourage them. So for the past 4 years,
that's what we've been doing
on Wednesdays.
Wow.
We go to Kolebu and we encourage them, and it's been amazing.
Mm.
They're seeing somebody you have encouraged to go through the same treatment that you went through, and the person has come back, seeing them like that, it gives them that joy. And the God bless you that they've been saying,
It's a huge blessing.
Yes,
it makes the experience worth it.
Yes,
it makes it worth it. Yeah, to be able to.
Thank God.
Okay. The rest of the messages. Tilly says it's not easy. Medicare Hub says God bless you, Auntie Phyllis, for sharing your story to encourage us. Susan also says thank you, Auntie Phyllis, for sharing your story. You're a hero. I love that. Thank you to everyone who has texted. Let me say a big thank you before we go to Mrs. Mausi Bachman. We didn't speak to her much, but thank you so much. And a big thank you as well to Ivy, your daughter, for speaking to us about how she felt throughout the whole process. So, Auntie Phyllis, before we go, when you go to Kolebu, and you meet these women who are newly diagnosed, what do you tell them? And I'm saying this because there are people who are listening to us who have been newly diagnosed, and maybe they haven't had anybody to speak to them. This is the first time that they're hearing, you know, a survivor story.
Okay. When I was going through like I said, the breast cancer wasn't common. So okay. I didn't even No, I should ask to see a survivor.
Mm.
I just went through everything and I finished. So when we were done and we started doing this counseling thing, we realized it is really helping.
Mm.
That's why I keep the picture. So when they come, I talk, maybe after they are done with the doctors, they will come and see the psychologist. In fact, if not for breast cancer, I wouldn't know the use of a psychologist.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we are in the psychologist's office. When they are the patients are done with the doctors, those who can't take the news, they come and see the psychologist. And then when she counseled them, and then we come in as survivors with our pictures, everything that they need to know, we tell them that this is us. This is what we went through. And today, this is us. So if you are able to listen to them and do all that they tell you to do, you will also come out and come and encourage somebody. So if you want anything else, maybe you are going through something, you want somebody to talk to, I give you my number. You can call me at any time. So okay. That's what we do.
So that's what
and
we do.
It has been amazing. Mm. It has been amazing.
I mean, I can imagine somebody at the beginning of the journey looking at you on the other side, you know, the kind of vim that it will give them that, okay, you know, if I fight, if I'm strong, if I follow the orders, I will be able to go through it.
Exactly.
So that's what you offer.
Yes, we offer that.
So what's just your final words before I let you go?
My final word is, I didn't help myself for being in the house for 4 years before taking a
move. Those first 4 years.
Yes, because of money. If the money was there, I would have taken the that lump from the breast. But my advice is, anything you see in your breast, don't waste any time in the house, because not all the lumps too are cancerous though.
Yes, yes.
But you need to see a doctor for them to know what it is. Yes, they shouldn't waste any time. And then I will plead with them. I don't want to mention any name, but these things that they've been drinking, it doesn't help. These herbal things that they've been drinking, by the time they will come to the Kolebu, everything has messed up and nothing can be done. Some of them will come and then they passed. Some of them too, whilst they are going through the treatment, at times I don't want to blame them because they want solution.
Yeah.
They are doing the hospital one and then they want to add the herbal to it and then it becomes a problem.
Because sometimes the drug interactions
are exactly not, and that one too is not helping them. So I will plead with them. I, for one, I didn't go to any herbal. I listened to the doctors. Even till now, I listen to the doctors and do all that they tell me to do, and I add my prayers. That's all. God listened to everything that the only thing, if you have faith and trust in what you are putting in front of him, I think he will help you. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll urge them to go to the hospital. Okay. You can do self-examination, but the self-examination, I will plead that once a while, go to a professional.
And get checked.
Yes. It is very important.
Especially if there's a history of breast cancer
exactly.
in your family. Thank you so much, Auntie Phyllis,
Thank
for sharing
you.
Your story with
Thank
us.
You.
We're so grateful. Thank you for the energy and the vim and the excitement and, you know, the I can do spirit. It's truly amazing and we're really grateful.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's us done. My name is Enima Enimado. A big thank you to the team for tonight's show. And next week, we continue with more stories from our breast cancer survivors. If you're listening to us, get checked. Do the self-check. Go to the hospital. Go to church. There's so many places where free screening is being done. So just get checked and be safe out there. Handing over to the news team for Headline News at 8. Stinging like a bee, I earned my stripes. I went from zero to my own hero. You held me down, but I got up. Already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound. Like thunder gun. Joy 99.7 FM.